But everybody's in decline. And there is a lot of difficulty. I'll get to that in a minute. But Jesus looks not only at the United States, I mean that big picture, but he looks at Farmington, New Mexico. He looks at the Pinon Mesa, which we're sitting on. And he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He is telling us, everybody, now. Now. Before it's too late. And so, friends, we cannot use the word attract anymore. Not unless we're living in Egypt and we're in denial. You'll remember it, won't you? No, like the 72 that he sent out, we have to go and bear testimony. It's really not as hard as it sounds. It's just simply sharing what God means to you, what Jesus has done for you. Being ready to share a word about the life that Christ has given you. To share the word that he gave them to share, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, so often when we read this passage and we read that line, we think, oh, Jesus is telling them, when you say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you, we think that it's Jesus, right? Isn't that what we think of? And rightfully so, but I think it goes well beyond that. You see, he had sent them. He had sent them to places and people they knew. And in them who had received the message of Christ, in them the kingdom of God had come near. You hear that? You bring to this world, to this community, to your neighborhood, to shopping at Smith's or Walmart, you bring the kingdom of God. You bring that treasure that Paul talks about. We may be earthen vessels. We're clay vessels. We're just jars. But in us is this treasure. Jesus sent them, and they were sent to embody this message. Not just of the kingdom, but he sent them with authority and power so that they too could be a part of bringing healing to those they met, to those that would hear the message. You see, there's a connection between the healing and hearing the message. It's not up to us. It's up to him, the power of the Spirit, and their response. Now, when you think about this kind of ministry where you go and you yourself are the ones in whatever happenstance brings that message, that's called incarnational ministry. Incarnational. Just as Jesus was God incarnated in flesh, that's what incarnated means. He has sent you and I to be his incarnation in the world. That's one of the reasons we are called what? The body of Christ. Just as he gave them authority and power, friends, he has given us authority and power. so we can step forward in faith. Maybe sometimes even when everything in us is going, oh God, this is going to have to be you because I can't do anything about this. Well, if you get there, you're in the exact right place. I mean, isn't that what he did with Gideon? Gideon had this whole mass of folk, and God winnowed it down till there was only 300 left. Now you can go against the 100,000. I think God's at the ready to do some amazing things in and through us here at Riverstone. Jesus sent those 72 knowing that they would not meet with success everywhere they went. They would have moments where, gosh, that person didn't respond like I thought they would. Well, yeah. He knew their ministry wouldn't always seem fruitful. He told them that they would experience rejection. That's the reason he goes ahead and tells them, now if somebody doesn't respond well, just shake the dust off your feet. And we're going to experience rejection. And we'll probably find more rejection than we find those folk that what it literally means here says, I'll see if I can go back and find it again. I'm sorry, I just lost my place. But the sons of peace. The sons of peace are simply those who responded to the message. We don't like rejection. I don't like rejection, but I get up here every Sunday. We just continue to offer Christ however we can, and we pray that somewhere, somehow, that the message finds an open heart, a ready heart. And we pray for that. It's an important part of this, that we pray for that. Stuart and Margaret, common, regular folk, they wanted to be missionaries, and so the mission board said, have we got a place for you? Sounded just like the bishop in appointments. We got a perfect opportunity. Well, they sent them to Bangladesh. And they were told by the very, very few Christians in that city that they would find that the Muslim population is impossible to reach with the gospel. They're so averse to it. They're so opposed. Excuse me. But they worked tirelessly for 6 years anyway before they were expelled because, well, I guess they were being a little bit over anxious with their communication and their work with people, or maybe they were becoming a threat. Well, they were expelled and they left, and then they went back, and the mission board said, fine, we're not going to send you back. And they said, well, we want to go back, so we're not going to support you. But Stuart and Margaret went back anyway without support. And for 6 years, they worked with the Muslims. Margaret could not go outside their apartment unless it was dark. Stuart lived with the men, and he disciplined himself to eat what they ate, to pray when they prayed, although to a different God. And he fasted when they fasted. And over the course of time, they just learned, having been with those folk, and began to understand them and see what their life was built around, and how they could communicate well with them. They just learned to present the gospel in a way that would be received And the result? No, there was not a great revival. But there were many Christians who came, who became Christian, who came to Christ. But that's not the end of the story. At the end of that 6-year period, they once again were forced out of Bangladesh. And so they went to Australia to lead a church. The church was in pretty fair shape. They had good attendance. Not much was going on, hadn't been going on, except for the fact that the last 4 years they were having a fight over where they were going to put the handicapped restroom. One of those important things. And later Stuart shared that the Melbourne church thought that they were getting a white pastor who would do things like they had always done them. And he went on to say they were wrong. They were getting a missionary who understood that reaching people for Jesus means understanding the culture, understanding the people around them, and meeting them where they are. Now, some of you fish. I don't fish because I don't like fish. I have such an aversion to anything that's been in the water, I don't want my calf if it's been in the rain. But fishing is interesting because Jesus says you'll be fishers of men. I have taken note of the fact that if you're going to catch fish, guess where you have to go? You've got to go to where the fish are. You can't sit around in your living room and say, well, how can I get them here? No, you got to go where they are. And you have to be persistent. You have to be intentional. You have to do some trial and error. Because some of those fish are stupid. They just don't leap on your hook. At the very heart of Stuart's calling to that ministry was John 1:14. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. And literally, the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. My friends, I think Jesus is saying to us today with great urgency, everybody now, he's looking at Riverstone, everybody now, this isn't just Brian's job, this is all of us, we all have to answer this call, and he says, go into this neighborhood, this is your hood. You know, in urban areas, when they talk about their hood, they're talking about a pretty defined area. It's not very big. You know, several square blocks. But it's their hood. I mean, they know the folk there. They know what kind of folk live there. They know what's happening. They know their needs. They know how they think. And they protect their hood sometimes. Sometimes they bring it great demise, but that's a whole nother point. And Jesus is telling us to share the kingdom message of the gospel, to spend time with people. He says, go into their home. Stay there. Eat what they eat. Drink what they drink. Learn how to present to them this wonderful news that the kingdom has come near. And after you've learned it, share it. The question is, will we? Isn't it interesting, 72? That's our average attendance. I just made that connection. Wow. That is everybody, isn't it? Dude, are you feeling any sense of urgency? I mean, friends, we wonder what we can do about our culture, about our nation, and Jesus is giving us the answer. Start in your hood. It, you know, yes, we may worry but a little bit. We may be fearful a little bit, but go anyway. Because, as Dwight saying, people need the Lord. And if we don't do it, there's a very real possibility that many will die in an eternal death. We're going to do some work. We're going to find out who these folk are around us, and we're going to find out what's going on. And we're going to see what we can do as Riverstone to get to our hood. To get out there and before the storm hits, and there's a storm coming. And bring in the harvest. Our closing song, I'm going to say this before I do something else. Our closing song is, "Here I Am, Lord." Of course, that's the... it's based on Samuel. It's based on his saying to the Lord, "I've heard your voice. Now speak to me. Tell me what you're saying to me. Tell me what you want me to do." It's an invitation of us to God, by us to God. God, here I am. Send me. It's making yourself available. So when we're singing the song here in a few moments, don't just mouth those words. If you can't sing them with integrity, don't sing it. Because friends, I think we're at a point where God's going to take each word. Are you ready? Are you ready? I love you. And I believe that we want to be the people of God in this place. And all that that means. Where we do everything. I mean, just as Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. That's the goal. That's what we're going to be thinking about. Friends, that we'll do the same. That's it. May it not be said here. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. in the corridors of time, may there be a story where someone will remember and say, you know, remember those folk at Riverstone? They stepped out in faith. They loved God and they loved the people around them. And wow, look what happened. Maybe we could do that.